Hi there. You are now listening to a sermon from Calvary City Church. We hope that this message blesses you, encourages you, and speaks to you. May God always reveal His goodness, mercy, and love to you. Enjoy the message.
Good evening, Calvary City Church. It is so wonderful to see you in this evening service. Praise God that you can set aside this time to log on to hear the Word of God. Father, we commit this evening service into your hands. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the salvation that you have given to us. This evening, especially, we want to lift up all our loved ones in prayer. Wherever they are, Lord, you said in your Word, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, if we are saved, eventually our household will be saved. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness as we surrender them into your hands. Protect them also from COVID-19. We thank you. We commit the preaching of the word into your hands. Thank you for the healings that would take place. Thank you for the miracles that will break out. Thank you for the salvation of souls, dear Father. As we begin to pray, let your presence just come into each one of our homes in a very unprecedented manner. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this difficult time, it is time for us to put our faith in practice. Remember, a faith that's not exercised is not really a faith. I'd like to remind you of Jesus' two powerful statements. Whatever circumstances you are facing right now, faith has got the power to overcome them. Praise God. This is exactly what Jesus said in Mark 10:27, he looked at the people and he said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He is an all possible God. And then he went on to say, in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 23, if you can exercise faith, if you can, to them that believes, all things are possible. So these are the days that God has allowed to happen, that we can exercise our faith through hope and believe and trust and see the breakthrough that we're asking God for. Praise God. Exercise your faith. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And you will see the reward of faith. Hebrew, the 11th chapter, verse 6, Paul says this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who believe in him, or those who seek him diligently. Faith is a rewarder. So where do you need the reward of God? Praise God. Today, I like to turn your attention to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. That's the text of my message, especially the second part, where the scripture tells us Christ in us, you and I qualify, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in us is the future of glory. For a time such as this, for a season such as this, this is the glory of his restitution, the glory of his restoration, the glory of his acceleration for a time such as this. Now, I like you to know that the glory of God works concurrently, not one after the other, but concurrently, together. What do I mean? Now, let me turn your attention to Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. We read in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, the scripture tells us, "Arise, shine, arise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." Now listen to this. "Though darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness over the people," concurrently, darkness and deep darkness. "Though darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness over the people," but concurrently, "the glory of the Lord will be risen upon thee." The glory of restitution prophetically. The glory of restoration prophetically. The glory of acceleration, God's acceleration prophetically. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, "The Gentiles will come to your light, the glory of your light, and the kings will come to the glory of your brightness." Come on, somebody shout amen, please. The purpose of this message this evening is, what is the ultimate purpose of the glory of God? Apart from restitution, apart from restoration, apart from acceleration, what is this ultimate purpose of God's glory that is displayed in each one of us? As in Colossians 1:27, Christ in us is the hope of glory. What is the ultimate purpose? "For this reason, the Father sent His Son to this world. For this reason, Jesus was crucified. For this reason, He is coming back." Hallelujah. What is the ultimate purpose? I'd like to turn your attention to Isaiah 60, and let's look at verse 3. "For the Gentiles will come." The Gentiles will come to your light. The Gentiles will come to the light of the gospel. And then the kings will come to your brightness, the brightness of the gospel. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen, please. I like the scripture, you know, and it says, "As soon as the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, you immediately become Christ's ambassador." Christ's ambassador. Isn't that wonderful? So therefore, as we progress into this message, what is the relevance of God's glory for Calvary City Church in 2021, especially with this theme, "How will they hear?" How will they hear? Look at the theme, "How will they hear?" And we've taken this theme from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 13 right up to probably 16. Or 17. What is the relevance? Okay, let me explain. You know, friends, one of the dynamic function or the manifestation of the glory of God is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 26, and the cross reference to this scripture is Psalm 16 and verse 9. Now let's look at the scriptures. Here, Peter, after he preached his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 26, he says, "My heart rejoices and my tongue was glad." Look at that. "Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope." Now, let's look at the cross-reference of this scripture, and we will see the relevance to our theme for this year. Okay, let's look at Psalms 16 and verse 9. And it says, David says here, you know, this is the original. David says, "My heart is glad." My heart is glad and my glory. Look at that. This is no longer the word tongue, but my glory rejoices. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Come on, somebody say amen, please. So today, the purpose of this glory that I'm talking about, the glory of the Lord, will be risen upon thee. Though darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness over the people, one primary purpose of this glory is to preach the gospel. Tongue. Here, the glory is defined in the original word as tongue. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen, please. It is tongue. It is your tongue. Going back to our theme, Romans, the 10th chapter, and verses 13 through probably I like to read from 13 to 17. And this is what the scripture tells us. Now listen very carefully. Even though the world is going through a troubled time, even though the world is going through a difficult time, many of us are going through too, but at the same time, the gospel, the preaching of the gospel cannot be delayed. The preaching of the gospel cannot be postponed. You can't do that. You definitely can't do that. Are you here with me? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, how will they? Come on, look at the progression. How will they call on whom they have not believed? And how will they believe without hearing? Hearing. And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? And how lovely are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace and the glad tidings of good things. And Lord, verse 16 says, who will believe our report? And then it goes on to say, if you want people to believe the report of the gospel, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word. Glory to God. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? So today, the glory that has risen upon thee is the glory of you preaching the gospel. And the glory here is translated, especially we read in Acts 16 verse 9, the glory that rejoices is your tongue. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. You know, friends, I received a call. I'd like to share with you a testimony. I received a call from Kuala Lumpur. And this gentleman calls me and tells me, Pastor, I got your number from someone in Johor Bahru. And I know you are doing the work of God. And I want to give you this number of this particular person. Can you please call him? He just called me about a couple of minutes back. And he said he's going to commit suicide. And he's going to off the phone. I keep trying. After that, I keep calling him. It goes to the voicemail. And Pastor, I don't know his address, but could you please call him? And he sent the number to me. And I prayed, oh God, I prayed, Lord, we don't want this soul to perish. You know, I remember one aspect of David Chong's testimony is when he wanted to commit suicide, jump down from a high-rise building. And this is how I interpret this testimony. The Lord Jesus told him, don't throw your life away. If you don't want your life, don't throw it away. Give it to me. I'll make something beautiful out of this. That's the gist of his testimony. I remembered that. And I keep calling. And I keep calling and I prayed, desperately prayed. 5 or 6 times I called this gentleman, but the phone was engaged. Not engaged, it goes to the voicemail. Then I prayed. I said, God, we don't want this soul to perish. God, give me an opportunity, Lord. I prayed and I called him. I think the 5th or the 6th time when I called him, he picked up the phone. I introduced myself and I said, I'm Pastor Benedict Rajan. Can you please give me an opportunity to meet up with you? You know, no, it's too late. It's too late. It's not going to work. It's too late. If I continue, my family will be disgraced. You know, I said, please give me an opportunity. Let me talk to you. And I said the same thing. Don't waste your life. Even though you come from a Taoist Buddhist background, Jesus has got a wonderful plan for your life. You know, and then after much persuasion, he allowed me to meet him that evening. You know, friends, and thank God, I prayed. I prayed that God would use me. I prayed, you know. It's like Psalms 126, verse 3. He who sows in tear will reap in joy. I cried and I prayed, oh God, I feel so responsible for this soul. And you know what? I went to meet with this guy and I shared the gospel with him. And I said, you know, I know you have got a huge, huge difficulty that's pressing you down. But that doesn't warrant for your suicide, you know. And then he accepted Jesus and I prayed for him. And I said, will my situation change? I am not very sure, but I can assure you Jesus will be faithful. He goes to bed and next morning he calls me early in the morning. And I, could I meet you? And I told him he wanted to see me. I said, sure. I thought he's urgently wanting some help. Somebody's after him. He came. I got him to come out. He wanted to meet me as early as probably 7:38. I met him and he said, Pastor Rajan, I want you to know yesterday night I had a dream. In this dream, I saw a huge snake leaving my house. And then I saw like a goat coming into my house, you know. But I was thinking, this is not some mutton biryani. Well, this is not my soup coming. I know this is the Lamb of God coming into his house. And lo and behold, to cut the long story short, you know, how will they hear without a preacher? And today, the entire family is saved. And everything that's connected to him has received the gospel. Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? As I conclude this message, you know, how will they hear? Remember what Jesus said. In John, the 4th chapter, verse 34, 35, Jesus said this. My food is to do the will of the Father who have sent me. And I want to do it and finish it, he said. And then verse 35, he gave us such a hard, heart awakening instruction. Do not say, he said, do not say, yet there are 4 more months. Do not say, we'll wait for this COVID and the pandemic to come to an end. Do not say, yet there are 4 more months. Then comes harvest. He said, no way. He said, look at the urgency of the hour. He said, behold, look, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see at the field, they're already ripe for harvest. They're already ripe. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You know, friends, Jesus also said in Matthew, the 9th chapter was 37 and 38. He looked at the disciples. In the face of the multitude today, we have 7.25 billion people on the face of the earth. More than half of them have not heard the gospel once. And today, sadly, many have perished without the hope in Jesus to this pandemic. What a sad story. And we are in a nation where we are prohibited to preach to this group of people by their constitutional right. And friends, look at this. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest that he may send forth laborers into the harvest field. Are you here with me? You know, friends, I'd like you to position yourself to win this loss in two ways. Number one, focus on your loved ones. Many of us have got huge families that are not saved. It could be our brothers, sisters, their children, our nieces, nephews, our cousins, our great-grandparents, whoever it may be, our relatives. Jesus, remember Paul said in Acts 16 verse 31, during the jailer who came out and, what am I supposed to do? The first instruction he said, you get saved. When you are saved, your household will be saved. That's what you need to do. You need to position yourself in this very promise and begin to pray for them every day. Every day. Friends, I want you to know death is sure. Eternity is real. But the time that would follow this too is uncertain. Nobody has the power to hold death back. And we need to pray, claim this promise, and pray for our loved ones, our fathers and our mothers, our brothers. Today, if anything happens to them, the gate of hell is open for them. We need to pray for them. That's our urgency. That's our priority. Position yourself in praying for your loved ones. Number two, position yourself to pray for your neighbors. For the neighbors, you could start with the act of kindness. Start building relationship. But your family that's far away, the act of kindness is not the urgent thing right now. Your prayer is the urgent thing. Remember, Psalms 26 verse 3 says, He who sows in tears, the prayer of tears, the intercession of tears, the supplication of tears, crying out for their soul, will come forth. Look at the scripture. Psalms 26 and verse 3. He who sows in tears. Come on, show me the scripture. Psalms 126 and verse 3. He who sows in tears will weep in joy. The forerunner. Come on, look at this. Psalms 126, that's right, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. As I conclude this message, the urgency of this hour for those who are listening to this message and those who would be listening later, the urgency is this. That is for sure. Eternity is real, but between both of this is uncertainty, uncertainty. No one knows when death will come. Therefore, I encourage you to develop a burden for your loved ones. Hallelujah. How will they hear? How will they hear? How will they hear without you preaching the gospel? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet together with me. Father, this evening we commit each one of us into your hands. Without being self-centered and selfish, help us to be generous with this gospel that has changed our lives. That's right. We're going to begin by sowing in tears. And because we're going to sow in tears, the hearts of the hardened people are going to be broken. Idolatry is going to be broken. And Lord, then they will begin to hear the gospel. And we'll come back rejoicing, dear Father. The lost is found. I pray, Lord, this evening just before we serve communion, let there be a burden, dear Father, in each one of our hearts for our loved ones and our neighbors. Give us a vision for the lost soul. Give us tears in our eyes for those who are perishing without the gospel. It'll be too late when we get to heaven. It'll be too late to preach the gospel. It'll be too late to have a burden for souls. It's too late to plead for your mercy for souls. It's now. The gospel is valid while we are still living at the present time. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I just pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, you will just come and touch our hearts. We'll never be the same. This pandemic will not be an excuse for us to delay the preaching of the gospel. I pray for everyone who's listening to this message. I pray, dear Father, the Holy Spirit will begin to bring conviction into their hearts in a very special way. Shadaraba sutta, rasata, rata sutta, shadaraba sutta, rata sutta. For this day, the Lord will have this known to you. He who wins soul is wise. And if you would put aside your so-called burden, your so-called need, and when you begin to extend your hand of help to others, blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. That's a prophetic word. I commit everyone into your hands. Beginning from today, position ourselves, claiming Acts chapter 16, verse 31, positioning ourselves with the act of kindness and positioning ourselves in tears, sowing in tears. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons like this, check out our website at calvary.com.my. We hope you have a blessed week ahead.